What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. King's Island is now open weekends.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
It's okay if you aren't ready for kids right now. It's okay if you don't want to be a mom now or even ever. It's nobody's decision but yours. But do you know what's not okay? Not knowing how effective your birth control is. Talk to your doctor about effective birth control options so you can make an informed decision. Tap to learn more.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Mikey and Rin stay in.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, guys. Welcome to Mikey and Rin Stay In. I'm Mikey.
And I'm Rin.
How are you this morning?
I know. It is a morning podcast recording.
That's weird.
Morning podcast recording.
Morning recording while watching porn. We're not watching porn.
No.
What are we doing?
We are drinking coffee, which is something I used to never enjoy with my partner.
Aww. Because every time I drink coffee, I would just scream the whole time about my Trump support.
And to have heart palpitations.
Right.
To the point where you thought you were having a heart attack.
Yeah. I know. I never drank coffee until this year. And it has become a really blessed addition to my life.
Amen. And we found this decaf blend, which is so yummy because it's really dark, roasty, and kind of gives you the taste that you want from coffee without the caffeine. And next, a word from our sponsor.
And yeah, Italian espresso. Hello. I know it's so good and it's super dark. I will say, you know, that now that I'm drinking coffee, the idea of going for decaf, I'm just like not into it.
Ooh.
Like, what's the point? It's like drinking non-alcoholic beer. I don't want a Sharps. I want to get the full throttle, baby.
That's right.
I know. And it's especially when it's, well, we're getting ready to go camping. We're going to go camping for a couple days.
Yay!
And so we're like packing the car and doing all the things. And like just a little bit of coffee can just be like that. Ooh, rocket fuel.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's
a really nice little morning condiment.
And then you get to do things like sip it and go, it's so warm. And like talk in your NPR voice.
Yeah, it's true.
Welcome to Lake Wobegon.
It's true.
So we are still in the middle of our waiting.
Yeah, and Rindog has really messed something up. And so
this might be the whole episode is just
How do you think I handled? Well, first let me tell you guys what happened.
Yeah.
So I am in this sort of in the middle stage where I've had my egg retrieval for IVF. We now have genetic results on our little embryos. And so we've got three just hanging out in the freezer. And they have to time your cycle for the when the embryo transfer actually happens. And so during that time, you're back on birth control. And I did a full pack of birth control and then just sort of didn't really process that I had to keep cycling through the birth control. So I had to go get another refill and keep going with it.
Right.
And so, yeah, I missed the boat on that and gave them a call because I was a little confused about my schedule. And she's like, well, where are you at in the birth control right now? And I was like, oh, I'm not taking it. She's like, uh-huh. I have to call you back. I have to call Taylor. And Taylor's like the, you know, the head nurse, right? So she had to call to tell on me.
She did.
And then Taylor called and I talked to her, told her what happened. She's like, I have to call Dr. Don't go all the way to the top.
Yeah. Yeah. The running up the flagpole. Yep.
Just tell me what to do. We can keep this like on the level.
Yeah. Come on, Principal Schaefer. We don't have to.
God damn it.
Damn.
So.
Mrs. Lapioli telling. Who was the principal? I can't remember. Jean Keeley. Mm. Telling Mrs. Keeley. And then I had to go sit on the green bench because I pulled the fire alarm.
Oh, wow. That's, yeah, sociopathic.
Yeah. Kind of. Some girl, I can't remember her name, told the teacher, then told the
good for her.
Told the principal, and then they told. No, actually, then my dad told the police.
I know. I was going to say, isn't it? Can't you, like, get arrested for that?
So this was the last day of sixth grade, and in order to celebrate, I decided to pull the fire alarm. And, yeah, and so that was, you know, so the school was pissed, but, like, it was summer, and I think it was my sixth grade year, so I couldn't, you know, they didn't have a jurisdiction over me anymore. So my dad was like, we're going to show him, and he took me down to see, at the police station, to see an arson specialist.
Nice.
And, you know, I was, like, a 12-year-old kid. I was like, I don't know, I didn't fucking burn anything down. I just pulled the fire alarm. It was funny. But I was scared too. And then we leave and the guy's like, all right, so we're going to have to put his name into the system. Like this, and I think it was like going to be on my record. And so my dad was so pissed. He was like, I don't want this on his record. It was like all blew up kind of in my dad's face. Mm. So anyways, but I didn't mean to railroad that story.
Oh yeah. You got a story, Rin? Here's mine.
Here's mine from when I was 12.
I got a better one.
No, but it was just about running it all the way up to the top.
So I called Mikey. Mikey was at work that day. And how do you think I handled it?
I think you were... No, I was not at work that day. I was driving 12 hours.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Between Idaho and Oregon because I had met my dad in the middle. And so I had like 8 hours left in my drive to just ruminate on things.
That's right.
And so Corinne called me crying. And was just like, I fucked it up. I fucked it up, you know. And,
oh. Well, and I was thinking like, I'm never going to, the transfer is never going to happen. I've messed everything up.
Yeah. Well, and it's just, I know, when it's this much waiting.
Yeah.
And there's something, so this, yeah, like a little hiccup like this.
Yep.
It matters like in the scheme of things. Of with course. This. So it's just like, oh no. But then, you know.
Well, and I felt...
It's also like every... I would imagine this happens with so many IVF.
Well, that's what you kept saying. And I was like, no, it doesn't. Everyone else looks at their schedule and they probably have notes everywhere. And they know exactly what they're doing. And you know, we've just had some other, I've had some work transitions going on. And so I've just been sort of thinking about other stuff. And when you're right. on birth control, it's kind of like you're on autopilot for me. Mm. When you're doing, when you're like actively doing injections and you're actively going into the clinic to get blood drawn every right. other day, it's like, oh shit. Yeah. I understand that this process is happening.
Yeah.
But you kind of, I don't know, I've sort of disassociated a little bit.
Right.
And so... Yeah, the net is that it's not that big of a fucking deal.
Right.
I did get a little, I wouldn't call it chastising, but just, you know, make sure that you take the pills up until this date.
Right.
I'm going to redo your calendar. And so basically our transfer date has been moved from September 2nd to September 16th.
Yeah. 14 days later.
Which is the perfect day.
It's the perfect day
for a transfer.
It's the perfect day. It's 4 days before Sheethy's birthday.
That's right.
It's great. And it moves our baby potentially into June birthday month, which I think June is a really beautiful birthday month.
I love it.
Me
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
The, you know, one of the things about it is just that, I think that the chastising was fine from them or whatever. But the thing that I wanted to say to you is, just trust yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you knew something was wrong.
Totally. Well, that was the other piece, right?
Yeah. So you knew it. And it's just like, just, you know, maybe other people do have lists and, you know, all the things up, whatever. But most people doing IVF don't have the level of, like, medical knowledge that you do or understanding of, like, the way bodies work. And so I just think you're also such a rule follower that, like, of course you're going to, like, do everything that they tell you to do. Right. Third thing is that I was kind of interested to see, like, what are going to be the things that are not perfect about this IVF? Like, the you know, what are going to be the things because of COVID that are going to be different than most people's IVF experiences with the people that we're using? And I think this is one of the examples. It's like, you know, we're doing so much, you're doing so much stuff without talking to them or just on your own that, like you said, had you been in the clinic more frequently, which you probably would if COVID wasn't happening, then I don't know.
Yeah.
They might have seen some of this stuff. You might have said, hey, I just noticed the counter gets a little weird. I don't have enough pills.
That's
very hands off at this point.
I did see that in the calendar, thought that I had emailed them, and it turned out I didn't send the email. Right. Just like today when I pulled oatmeal out of our cupboard, put it on the countertop, and now it's gone.
Now it's evaporated. Yeah.
So there's some kind of really strange black hole that's happening in our lives too.
Yeah. I know, and oats are a very metaphoric thing.
Didn't even think about that.
Sowing your oats.
Yeah.
Growing your oats.
Yes.
Fuel, it's body fuel. Yeah, it's, you know.
Yeah.
This is all metaphor.
You're really taking it there.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I mean, I'm, I don't know. It's interesting going through all of the things at once. Like, I think I'm going to end up writing a book about, and I think I'm going to call it something like Unmoored. And it's like COVID. I'm also turning 40, which you did too, but I think male 40 sometimes is a little different. Like the male, like midlife crisis or whatever it is, I think is like, I don't know, it's a little, it's like the male cold, like when a man gets a like when the man gets a cold that's like, you know, 10% of bad, you know, and he's like laid up for days,
right?
I think so. I'm kind of like feeling like maybe I'm going through a midlife crisis. COVID's happening. We're trying to have a baby. My work life is kind of tumultuous. I don't know. I'm feeling a little nuts.
Yeah.
But then I think the way that I react to it is escape. Let's just get the fuck out of here. So we're going camping. I've been going on little trips safely. I don't know. I've just been like trying to like just live summer boy life and do fun projects for work that I'm digging. But ultimately, I mean, with baby stuff, I'm just ready, man. I'm like, you know,
We've
got all these cute little kids in our lives. And I'm like, and our friends that are also doing IVF at the same time, like they were kind of a little behind us, but now they're like catching up and they're like, they're excited about it. And so I don't know. I'm feeling like a really good positive momentum at this point. And I don't know. I'm good. I'm really just loving you and I don't know. Loving our little, our little life. It's really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. We are having fun.
We're going to have our 8th anniversary in 2 weeks.
Yes.
I know. And we're going to go, we've got this like little dually. We're going to stay in like this cute little cabin on a river for a couple days. And then we're going to go stay in this cute little apartment in this area of Oregon that we've never been. And so I'm just all about exploring right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Explore again.
Explore again. And it's, and then from, you know, it's interesting just all the people that I've been talking to about IVF and about, well, I don't know. It's so interesting. I've been, there's been like a lot of, so the election's coming up, right? Mm-hmm. So people are talking about the issues that matter. And, you know, one of the issues that's like a, you know, just an ongoing issue that often, that often helps people tack towards voting Republican or voting for someone like Trump is abortion.
Right. Because
they believe that if, you know, I mean, Trump definitely is not quote unquote pro-life or anti-choice. I mean, I think he is someone who he will say that he is, but he sure. Definitely, he has an abortion clinic, his own personal abortion clinic in the bottom of Trump Tower for all of his flings. But you know, but he will appoint judges that are going to be anti-choice
sure.
and anti-abortion. And so but anyway, so we started talking a lot about like abortion and about, you know, just babies and all the things. And so I have a sister who was born at 24 weeks. So that's always kind of screwed me up a little bit on abortion because, you know, some of the later term abortions can happen, like when my sister was born. And that always has kind of messed me up. But the other thing that I wasn't expecting, and just to clarify here, I'm 100% pro-choice. You know, I think that it should be something that it's your body, it's your choice. It's, you know, you should be able to do what you want, for sure. But I will say that like having our embryos, like I feel like we have 3 kids.
You do?
Yeah. They're 5 days old, but I totally am like, oh, those are like kids.
Well, they're not 5 days old because that would be a baby that's 5 days old.
Oh, well, they've gone through 5 days of the process.
The cells are
right.
Not, right?
Right, right, right. No, so I know. You're right. Yeah, and that's important. It's important verbiage, too, because it's like...
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that that's really key.
More importantly for me is it's that I feel, like, more connected to these... Mm-hmm. Like, I understand... Like, it makes me feel like, oh, my gosh, like, this is a real thing.
Yeah.
So it just makes it that much more of a complex discussion.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it hasn't complicated that for me, interestingly.
Yeah.
I also feel like our attachment to the embryos that we have is also kind of the product of just the work that we've put in.
Well, that's
right?
More what and I, it's, that's more what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and I think you know, you've seen me go through a process and go through an egg retrieval, and so it feels... yeah, weighty. If
sure.
If I got pregnant naturally, we wouldn't even know that
you would
there
have
was
no
something
idea.
Right now, right?
Of course. So, well, but isn't that the interesting part?
Yeah, yeah.
When you move, like, and I'm trying to think of a good metaphor, but it's like you move into a house that just was built and didn't have anything involved with it or whatever. Like, you don't appreciate the craftsmanship necessarily. You're kind right. of like, oh, it's just a beautiful house. I love this house. It's right. wonderful. But if you built the house by hand, you notice every little thing.
Yeah.
And so it's just an interesting thing. And I, by no means am I saying that it's like making me rethink my feelings about abortion or anything. But it is just like, it does make me feel differently about, you know, an embryo and a growing baby and all those things about like, you know, I'm really attached to these little guys.
Right,
you know,
right.
Because I've seen the amount of work that you've gone through.
Right. Well, and I think if anything for me, it's solidified, not like I needed any more solid commitment
yeah.
to women's choice. But, you know, to think about what we have had to do to actually get pregnant, like how much
yeah.
intervention, how much medical intervention. It's, you know, and that was all our choice and our decision, and we felt
right.
empowered to do so. And, you know, then there's women who get pregnant really easily and decide that it's not the right time
yeah.
or decide for whatever reason that they don't want to be pregnant and don't want to have a child. And so it's like, it's, you know, why should I have that choice that very privileged choice to say, okay, I'm ready and my body's not doing it. So I'm going to get all of this help and all of this assistance. It's just, and to also just know that like these little things are, they're in a freezer right now. Like you can't
put a baby in a freezer.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, that is an interesting. Yeah. I mean, Walt Disney is cryogenically.
Yes. Oh my God. Is that my baby?
Oh God. I hope it going to be that fucking anti-Semite?
Is it going to be Walt Disney?
Please no. I'm not going to tell that the dream story.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. And I totally appreciate that. And the thing that it makes me feel more of is I have, is that everybody's situation is so individual.
Yes.
And the feelings that I have while it's like made me think about a lot of things in a different way and think about, the miracle of life and all the different things from a very different, more complex perspective, maybe has like made me feel those things. There's no part of me that wants to take my feelings and push them on other people.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh no, it's just changed the way that I think about it. Like everybody has to think about their situation 100% in a vacuum. Like think about the way that you think about it. Mm-hmm. And especially as a man, I'm like, I have no right to tell anyone, man, woman, otherwise, that they can, what they can or can't do with their body.
Right.
Fuck no.
Right.
Of course not.
Right.
I just know that imagine, I would beat the shit out of someone if they fucked with my little kidsicles.
But imagine, you know, if there was, I don't know, something on our legislative docket that said no more IVF, right?
Yeah,
because of whatever reason, because conception has to happen, quote unquote, naturally.
Mm.
And it's not like crazy to think.
Oh,
that,
of course
right?
not. Of course. Are you kidding me?
So I think that's a really good point that you can feel whatever fucking feels you want. But
I mean,
what does that matter for anybody else?
Right. And then that being said, I don't want to put my beliefs on anybody else. But if someone starts coming up with that or anti-abortion laws or something like that, I will definitely push my beliefs on someone else. Fuck you. I mean, I'm kind of the mindset that I kind of want everybody to be able to choose to do everything they want to do ever. Mm-hmm. I think if you want to snort meth in the middle of the street naked while jerking off, great. But there, it's you got to be safer about it. So like, please don't be in the street while you're doing your math. Go home and do your math. It's your choice. I don't know. We're so puritanical about stuff. I mean, I just saw a thing on Facebook today where someone in their front yard had a sign that said, God bows down to Trump and says he's perfect. Trump 2020. And this wasn't like a hand scrawled crazy person sign. This was like a beautifully made at a print shop sign.
Amazing.
Huge on someone's lawn. And I'm like, oh yeah, if someone believes that, then, someone believing that IVF is against God's plan or abortions are against God, all these things, of course that shit could happen.
Right.
I mean, it's like, and I just think we have to be, aware and ready for it.
Yeah, speaking of choice and God and...
Oh boy. Are you going to become a nun? You heard it here, folks.
The one thing that we didn't think much about it, but we didn't necessarily talk much about it, is the decision if you do end up having more than one viable embryo.
Mm.
Well, first you decide how many get transferred. That was easy decision for us just because of my anatomy.
Heart-shaped uterus.
Yeah, of course.
It's a uterus.
So that was easy. But then you have the option to find out the sex.
Sure.
Sex is if you have multiple. And you have to make the decision if you A, want to know that, and then B, if you want to choose the sex of the future baby that you're going to have.
Yes.
So that was a little bit of a mind fuck for me.
Definitely.
It felt a little like, oh God, are we going down the designer baby.
Like Gattaca.
Road, yeah. Sure. Felt really strange. So I was really uncomfortable knowing the sexes from the beginning. Because right. I think that it would have colored, I don't know, what we would have done.
Right, oh yeah. Well, and so, it's, I mean, but, and you know, and unwittingly, we've also made a whole bunch of other decisions about the designer baby. Mm-hmm. Is by the genetic testing,
exactly,
we've eliminated exactly. babies that have a lot of these different chromosomal things, exactly. And so like we didn't actively make the choice like nope, not this one because of this, you know, symptom or whatever, but we did make those choices.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
They were kind of made for us. I mean, the other thing
it
about
does it's
part of it.
It's intense.
It's intense, dude.
Ooh,
I know, and it's. People, I've told people about the sex thing, and that's the better way to say it than gender.
Well, yeah, because gender is a construct isn't it?
For sure. Yeah. So, but the, you know, and they're like, oh my gosh, that's one step away from like choosing the eye color or the whatever. And I don't know this for sure, but I was reading a little bit about it, and not that you can choose like I want blue eyes and I want red hair and I want kind of, you know, like these things and a girl. Like you can't choose all different things. But if you're like, I want a girl, they go, and you say, okay, we've got two eggs that are girls. And then between the two of them, they can kind of see what the traits might be.
Oh, so I have no idea.
So you could, I think that you can kind of say like, oh, this one will probably have, and I think they can only kind of say lighter hair.
Huh.
Or, but I mean, so you can, it just has to exist already in the embryo. Hmm. It's not like you can a la carte it together.
Of course.
But if it already exists, you can select, you can say, I want that one instead. That's fucking weird.
Is it like some kind of CRISPR shit that we're...
Well, CRISPR, which I don't understand really, but I mean, I think
that's
more
about cutting genetic code and, then editing it
into another. But with CRISPR though, can you copy and paste or can you just cut?
Oh, good question.
I think CRISPR is just removed.
Yeah, does anybody that's listening know? Will you write to us?
Well, okay, Mercy fan, you have two or three things that we want you to send to us. One, send us your nudes. That's pictures of the noodles that you made. I want to see all the noodles. Ramen noodles, fettuccine.
Hey!
Tortellini. Rice noodles. All the things. Bring them. Send us your nudes. Secondly, send us stories of things that you fucked up during your pregnancy /IVF so that my wife doesn't feel like she's the only one. Because I know some of you have reached out to us already and said, oh my God, I totally did that. Oh my God. I have a couple like secret side channel Instagram message things going with some of our followers. And every time they hear something or they're texting me about something, they're like, oh my God, that totally happened to me. So send us your stories of how you mangled things up. Send us the stories about when you
fed... So I can stop vlogging.
You accidentally fed your kid batteries. Like, all the stories. And then three... What were we just talking about?
CRISPR.
Oh, God. Yeah, if you're smart enough that you know what happens with CRISPR, call us. Come on over. Let's start a CRISPR company. Is that a thing that can... Maybe CRISPR crisps? Could they be like crackers that you eat that make you superhuman?
Mm. Okay. Yeah, the genetic code is just in the little chip.
The genetic coding.
Uh-huh.
Get
coding.
It? Coding.
Got it.
Coding to double. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Thank you.
This is great, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Everybody, hey, Barack Obama, thanks for listening. Stephen Hawking, are you dead? I think, but thanks for listening.
He's coming back from beyond the grave
you
to
know he
tune
is.
Into this.
Yeah, he loves it.
Well, what we ended up doing,
yeah.
just to finish, to wrap it on up, what we ended up doing is we talked to our doc, and he said, you know, the geneticists, they don't want, or the embryologists, they don't want to have the responsibility of choosing the embryo either, right? And so,
which kind of fucked me off. I was like, well, fuck, I don't know, dude.
But I get it, right?
Oh, 100%.
And so,
I would think they would be so nonplussed about that, though. I would think they would be like, gender's a construct. You're going to love the baby either way. We don't give a, you know, whatever. Like,
I know, but people can come back. What if it doesn't go well? What if the transfer's not successful?
Course,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
So he basically said that it's like Wheel of Fortune style. They just like spin a wheel. whatever it's like embryo 1, 2, 3, whatever it lands on, that's what
they
do.
I hope they put like little celebrity faces. Yes. Like, it's like, is it going to be Beyonce? Is it going to be Cher? Yeah. Is it going to be
Gaga?
Michael Flatley. Those are my three.
Nice.
Irish River Dancing, Beyonce. That's my pretty good Cher, actually. Snap out of it.
I swear we're going to end this episode. We're going to do it at some point.
Here. No, dude, this is a shorty kind of. we've been getting called out by people lately for having 20 to 30 minute episodes, saying how they're too short.
Oh, God. 30 minutes is plenty.
Yeah, you don't need to listen hear more to us dumb pluck on. Twats. Seriously. Oh, God, we're such assholes.
So we thought that felt kind of weird to have the sort of Wheel of Fortune style embryo choosing. And so I said, is there any other discriminating factors, anything else about these three that makes them different? And he was like, no, but did we tell the story last time?
I don't think so.
No. He said, well, there is one thing.
We might have told the story last time.
I think we did, didn't we?
From the beach. I think we were sitting on the beach on the river. Maybe. I don't know, though. Whatever, dude. I mean, if you're listening to this show, you know that there's almost no value.
Yeah.
There's almost no importance to it.
God. Well.
So telling the same story over and over again? I think
it's all part of being in a relationship, isn't it?
Yeah, we're all in a relationship, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you're together for over a year.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I started telling you the same stories when we were...
Oh, God, 3 weeks in.
Yeah, 3 weeks in. Yeah. At max. Yeah. Hey, Corinne, I ever tell you about the time that I ate the goldfish? Like, ah, fuck off. I hate you. Did I ever tell you about that? Oh, maybe I didn't.
You did.
Okay, good.
Yeah. One of our little embryos made it to the blastocyst stage first.
Yeah, like kind of significantly.
Yeah, so started the kind of division before the other ones.
Yeah.
So that's it.
That's the one.
Eager Beaver.
Yep.
You're in.
Yep. Hopefully. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Well, I was going to say, hopefully you have a beaver. Because I'm hoping for a girl.
Hey.
Well, he asked us, he was like, are you sure you guys don't care about the sex of the embryo? And we were both like, no. And then behind me, I'd written in Sharpie on a post-it note, girl. So, smart.
We love you guys.
Oh my God, we love you.
Thanks for listening to the same stories over and over again.
My terrible jokes and my insertion of my privilege and stupid voice more than Corinne's voice, which is super annoying. I hear it. I see you.
Your tongue clicking.
Oh my God, my tongue clicking. Yeah, it's seriously like I'm stuck inside of a vat full of honey with Winnie the Pooh just walking around. Just...
Oh. Yeah, I like it.
You want to go camping?
Let's do it.
Abby, you want to go camping?
Okay.
We taught Abby how to speak. So, we're going to have an interview at some point here in the future.
No, I haven't been very successful with my reach outs.
Yeah, I haven't been reaching out at all. I think we've just been, it's like, it's summertime. It's like, we're in the kind of the middle of like, you know, it's one thing when things are snapping in around IVF, but it's another, like, we're kind of in that waiting period where it's like, I don't know, I'm kind of like, I forget that it's even happening sometimes. So, but we just want you to know, reach out. Tell us that you're still listening. Tell us that, you know, what you like about the show, what you hate about us, what you love about us. But we love doing this shit. It's like our favorite thing of the week.
Yeah.
Cheethy, like, when we go camping or go on trips, I'm like up revving the car at 6:15 a.m. It is now 9:45 a.m. I was willing to just relax and
it's
just
true.
Be calm into it and just hang out with you guys. So.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So let's eat at MikeyandRinStand.com.
Mm-hmm. At Mikey and Rin on Insta.
You know it.
And the Facebook.
Yeah. I know. Send us some messages. We love you. Hope you're great. Wish us luck with our cute little bebas.
Yeah.
Embryos. Kidsicles. All right, you guys. I'm Mikey.
I'm Rin.
And this morning.
Oh, yeah. It is this this morning.
Yeah.
And we're not.
And we're not going to stay in. But that's the point of the show is it's more about staying in, like, internal, you know, just really looking at what you're feeling and staying in the relationship, staying in the moment.
In.
Yeah.
Introvert.
And leaving the penis in so that it ejaculates and then makes a baby.
Done.
We're gonna...
The wheels will come off. Beautiful.
The wheels will come off. Okay, goodbye.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. And where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.